janefinch.com.
So tonight, we have three visitors, as I mentioned, and we're going to have a conversation on the topic area of gun violence. And I want the individuals to introduce themselves, and I'll go forward.
Reverend Sky Star.
Marlon Slingdad's Mortgage.
Hi, my name is Mr. Fresh. Nice to meet viewers.
Thanks very much. And actually, also, just want to put out a shout out for Paul Nguyen, who's the webmaster for janefinch.com. Paul's a friend and a visitor in the past for the program, and he's also video recording tonight, and he'll edit this and upload it and post it to YouTube and then within the week or so. So people can get another dimension of Mediation Station, the conversation, because usually it's just an audio version. And tonight will be the audio plus the video. So I want to welcome the three of you for coming to the program.
Thank you.
Let's start our conversation tonight with each of you sharing some information about yourself as to what you do.
Okay, so Reverend Sky Star again. Usually everybody calls me Reverend Sky. I live and work in Jane and Finch community as a minister, therapist, and community advocate. We founded Out of Bounds in 2006 after the Year of the Gun, responding to violence. As a therapist, I respond when there is a crisis. If there's a shooting, I go on scene, work with the family, help with the preparations and planning, give them the support that they need. Also do the funeral if it's necessary and they don't have a minister. And then we do groups after for post-care to support the families, support the moms, and to also work with the families in the community. And we don't just service Jane and Finch, we go across the GTA. So when somebody needs help somewhere, they call and we're happy to respond.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so my name is Marlon, nickname Sling Dad's, last name Mortgage. I am a community worker, also a community leader, recording artist as well, father of three teenage boys. And what I do is actually connect and build with like-minded people as myself to build resilience in youth and help build back our communities with a hope of sense of pride. And by having people like myself that are raised in poverty and priority neighborhoods can relate to others that come from the area that they can look up to and basically know the language that we can help in regards to moving forward in communicating.
Okay, thanks very much.
Hi, so my name is Mr. Fresh. I actually am a CEO of a company called Fresh and Famous, Inc. And the mission statement of that company is to help youth in a toxic world to become fresh and famous. Also, I work with janeandfinch.com as well. I'm also a writer, author, up-and-coming author, and I'm also a person that's an artist as well.
So I want to thank the three of you for taking your time on a Sunday night. It was a great day today for the weather, finally. And we're inside. We're going to have a conversation that I hope will be stimulating and informative. And, that's the intention, to touch, not on the surface, to go below the surface and somewhat be somewhat provocative. Because one of the reasons for this program is for social change and to try to stimulate for effective and inclusive recognition of diverse nature of people and society, and not to provide the same old stories and mantra that people will say with regard to issues in the community. I mean, we're looking for real change to happen. I know from my own experience of working in Jane and Finch as well, because I have history on Eddystone with Conflict Mediation Services of Downsview, and change will take place in its own way as the community will define and determine. And one person at a time can be a meaningful and effective. If we're trying to impose a blanket change that's based on the individuals who come into the community and try and fix it, my experience is that doesn't work. So the focus tonight is on gun violence. What do you see as being the purpose for having conversations on topics like this?
Well, to me, it's important. It's a major importance because it brings people together in regards to these situations. And also, when you look at the bigger picture, we're trying to solve the problem, right? So when you have people come together in regards to these situations and put their ideals together, it becomes a bigger situation that we can probably fix. But it takes more than just us as a group just to speak about this. It's action.
Okay.
So what I would say for me, the topic I would say for the area of where violence starts to happen is when the youth don't value themselves. So if they don't know that they can be fresh and famous, if they don't have nothing to live for, that's where crime starts to happen. They don't have any opportunities. And a lot of the times they don't have jobs, they can't even pay for their rent. So that is a lot of the issues. So here at Fresh and Famous, what we do, we actually give them a product, which is an all-natural product for them to actually make money and to pay their bills as well, so they're not selling drugs.
So an entrepreneurial type of perspective.
Exactly. So that, and that's just one of the things that we do. I also think a lot of it ties back to financial management, which a lot of families are unaware of. They don't really plan, for example, having life insurance in place instead of having to put a GoFundMe page up instead.
Okay.
So my understanding is the importance of this conversation.
Yeah, from your perspective.
From my perspective, yeah. I think the main thing is raising awareness to the devastation of violence on the family, on the youth, and on the community. And that people, other people who need to be aware of what's happening, how it's affecting the families, how it's affecting the community, so that we together as a collaborative can make changes.
Hasn't this topic, though, been presented for conversations much in the past?
It's inexhaustive. Like, right. It's no one topic or one meeting or one group can actually address this. It's an ongoing issue. But I think for us to see changes, it has to start on the governmental level. All governments levels have to be involved, working together with the community and with community leaders and other people who are involved in it to make the changes. The community is trying. Yes, the community is doing little things here and there, but the situation and the issue is just vast. It really has spread.
Would it really start with the government? Because doesn't government feel the pressure when community members rise up in some way to express themselves, to put that pressure on their local MP or MPP, etc.?
Well, if the community, okay, a community like Jane and Finch, for instance, that's marginalized, that's living in poverty, the majority of people in Jane and Finch living in poverty, it has to be it's a systemic issue, and it needs a systemic approach to it. So all levels of government have to be involved. Remember what I said, in conjunction with community, with the leaders, with schools. Mm-hmm. It has to be a communal thing, but it has to be an overarching with help from the government.
And I would say, based on, you know, the events that you're going to present, power of collaboration.
Absolutely.
Collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
People have to work together.
Absolutely.
Alongside as partners.
Yes.
And not just have people come in, try to do a quick fix, and
yep.
then leave.
The Band-Aid stuff doesn't work anymore.
I don't know if it ever worked, really.
Well, some people think that it does. Because, generally, people are there. When there's a shooting or something happens and a
yeah.
crisis, you have everybody coming in. The city is there, the mayor is there, everybody's there. But once the funeral has happened, everybody goes back to their lives, and they're forgetting that here's a family who has to deal with all the traumatic events that has happened, and they need post-care, which is not available for them.
Right. Things are parachuted in, and then the people
yep.
are quick to leave the
yep.
moment and
everybody's
move on.
Everybody's lives go back to their own. They go back to their natural stuff, and family just remains there.
Okay. We got to take our first break, and we'll come back. You're listening to Mediation Station on CHHA 1610 AM. Welcome back to the program, Mediation Station, and we're talking tonight on gun violence, and we're talking with our three visitors, Dwayne, Mr. Fresh Wright, Marlon Sling Dad's Mortgage, and Reverend Sky Star. So when we present about the topic of gun violence, what are we referring to?
We're referring to crime. We're referring to injustice in our community. We're referring to people that are dying, especially young people.
We're referring to people's families being destroyed, communities being destroyed.
I think we're referring to a devastated effect, ripple effect that affects not just the family, the immediate family, but for every person who gets shot, at least 135 people are affected. So you got the schools affected, you got churches, and the wider community.
How has your own life been affected by gun violence?
So what I would say is that I look at gun violence as recidivism, right? It's a reoccurring thing. a lot of the clients that are doing these actions are people that are reoccurring crime people that are doing it. So I would say recidivists. It has affected me in ways where I've lost friends, personally lost friends. And most of the people I grew up with are either dead or in jail, right? And that's those are the statistics, right? So it makes it really difficult because as you get older now, when you're living, you have to live with that on your conscience. A lot of your friends dying and so forth. And it should be normal for us to make it to 30. You know what I mean? Most of the kids I grew up with did not make it to 30. Most of them either got caught up slanging drugs, and seeing drugs at an early age also affects us as well, right? And being pulled into the lifestyle to get caught up and when there's not jobs.
So when you see the events of the issue of the gun violence,
yes,
someone may get injured or hurt or lose their life.
Yes.
And then it keeps repeating itself. Because,
yeah.
Right, it doesn't go away, mm-hmm. unfortunately.
Yes.
How does that impact someone like yourself who is affected because you've lost personally some friends, you know of other people who've lost other people, etc.?
So for me, I channeled that energy and anger towards becoming something and becoming successful. But one of the things that has happened in our community is that, you know, we have to be resilient. So for myself, I was able to channel that energy and say, you know what, I can't allow myself to get caught up or to be a pawn on a chessboard, because definitely someone is bringing the drugs to our community. And a lot of the gun violence starts and stems from drugs, right? And stems from crime activity, where there's a lack of financial capital in the community, a lack of resources. So if there's a lack of resources and these youth or these gangs are getting caught up, what happens is that, you know, it all goes back to money. It has nothing to do with just that these guys are committing the crimes for no reason, right? A lot of it has to do with they want a better life. They want to have a house as well in a good neighborhood, but they don't know how.
I think it affects me as a therapist, but I live there. So the community is affected. I get calls in the middle of the night. I have students who are suicidal. I have mothers who are suicidal, and they call me. I get calls at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. The effort that has to go out to helping, like youth, helping youth who are just leaving school and can't function in school, helping the mothers who some of them can't go to work, who already, some of them have a job, lose their jobs because they're dealing with the traumatic effects that happens afterwards. Mm-hmm. And for the wider community, like, it takes a lot of effort to be able to bring people together for vigils, to do funerals, and also to do post-care. So we offer groups for these people. And it affects me because I am one of the main people who have to kind of, you know, help to put all this stuff together.
Though you've made a purposeful intention to do the work you do.
Yes, I did.
For a reason. And
yes.
What is that reason? Why you focus your professional world in this constant energy of gun violence and violence, etc.?
Because the need is there. And there are a lot of families and youth who are suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. There are a lot of kids who can't function properly in school. There are a lot of mothers who just don't know what to do with themselves afterwards. And the pain and the trauma that they're experiencing is long-lasting. It doesn't go away. And there is nothing available for them, no support.
So
available.
You use the word trauma.
Yep.
You've heard the terminology vicarious trauma.
Yes.
You are working with people who are affected by the incidents, the events of violence.
Mm-hmm.
How, though, do you process your own intersections with those?
Well, first of all, if I had to do this by myself,
yeah,
I won't be able to do it. I have volunteers, that's one thing. But for me, I have faith. I believe that God has called me to do this. The strength and the energy that I get comes from Him. Plus, I have a family who supports me. If I didn't have that, wouldn't be able to do it. But I do things like exercising, walking, praying, going to the pool, stuff. I do things to look after me. Because when I come back from seeing families like that, of course, my strength and my energy is depleted. But I do have family support, and I also have other people around me who help.
Yeah, we're constantly tested.
Yeah, absolutely.
And how we process those moments of being tested, mm-hmm. and how we try to evolve or grow from them. For yourself?
For myself,
yeah.
To be honest with you, it's both sides of the fence.
What do you mean by that?
So as a teenager, I was an active gang member. So I was at the time carrying weapons, guns, and stuff like that. And I was also actually charged at one time for attempt murder, for actually shooting somebody. But it was a self-defense situation. And it affected me in regards to seeing shootings and also being the person that actually did a shooting. So how it affected me in my life was dramatic. A lot of people don't know because I continued life every day like everybody else. But personally, on a one-way, it messed me up mentally in regards to moving forward in a positive way.
Well, you know, the two of you guys, Mr. Fresh and Sling Dads, you've taken those moments of when other people, yourselves, have experienced, which could be seen as negative and not remain there.
Exactly.
You've transitioned from those moments of what could be an eternal life of negativity and reframed it into a more hopeful or helpful opportunity.
Yes.
Not only for yourselves. How did you connect with that mindset to do that?
Well, for myself, I'm a father of three. So when I became a father, I realized it's not just my life, it's my children and the next generation. So just like my co-peers beside me, I also come from the Jane Street community, and I experienced, you know, the same kind of effects in regards to this. But I realized that as time goes on, there's only a certain period of time that you can only do certain things, because we all grow, right? And without growth, there's no change. So with myself, I'm a two-time graduate in college. You know, I went to Seneca, graduated in music, and I also graduated recently in George Brown as a community worker. So I realized that me coming back to my community and people that are in my community that look up to me as a mentor, it's important for me to come back and deal with the community on a certain level in regards to positive change. Because like I said, at one time I was part of the problem, but I feel that me coming back and giving back is rebuilding back the situation that was once supposed to be on a positive note. So that's what I'm trying to do right now.
Right. How about you?
Yeah, so for myself, I actually would say that entrepreneurship was that ticket out to transition. And it started from there, because had I had not had entrepreneurship, I could have easily ended up down a dark path. And for me, I was lucky enough to realize very early that this was not gonna be the thing. Watching over my back 24/7, looking for a police officer having that much power over me, was not something I felt comfortable about. And I also had to learn that, you know, reading was also powerful. So picking up a book, I can't encourage that enough, that, you know, you have to start reading. A lot of our community needs to get back to doing that and start reading entrepreneurial books and starting businesses. Because when you start a business, you put yourself in a position to be successful long term, right? And that's the problem. A lot of us that are growing up in the hood, they don't know about investing into stocks. They don't know about BNN, right? They don't know about these type of things. And it's unfortunate, because we can't just depend on the government to save us. For me, growing up, seeing guns and drugs and all that, I had to realize that, you know what, I was not going to let this define my reality, and I'm going to do something about it. That's what we have to do.
So rather than just let change affect you, you were going to affect change some way.
Yes.
Exactly.
Okay. And yourself, Reverend, how do you, you know, sense of your mindset? Has it always been where it's at, or have you found an evolution of that where it was a certain way and then it's transformed?
Overall, I'm a people person. I like working with people. I like helping people. And I think the main thing for wherever you're living is to give, to share, and to bring people together for healing. Like, nothing can happen with you or whoever has gone through a situation until they heal. It starts with the mind, yes, but you have to make a purposeful effort to do the changes. And you can't do it on your own. Again, we need community to come together. You need people alongside you. You need somebody to support you. And yes, we need help from everybody to help.
I think you need certain kinds of people to be alongside us.
Yes, you do.
Caring people, empathic people.
And positive people, too.
People who will work along, not take ownership of us, like you, Mr. Fresh has said, where he's taking ownership of himself in terms of his opportunities, and likewise too, Sling Dads, that you've had experiences that have happened, they've affected you, you've intersected them rather than taking them and leaving them as negatives. You've reframed them and worked from those as taking negatives into opportunities, mm-hmm. rather than limiting them as barriers.
Yes.
Is that fair to say?
Exactly. Yes.
So, you know, how do you see, and you've mentioned some of this, and we'll talk about this actually when you come back, so think about this during the break. How do you see some of your lived experiences as contributing to how you do your work in an intentional way? All right? We got to take a break. We'll come back, okay? You're listening to Mediation Station on CHHA 1610 AM. Welcome back to the program. We're talking gun violence, and we're talking with Dwayne, Mr. Fresh, Wright, Marlon, Sling Dads, Mortgage, and Reverend Skystar. So I asked you just before the break to reflect upon something with regard to your lived experiences, and each of you has intersected with those moments and transformed yourselves and thus your circle of people in different ways. How do you see in a tangible way, and I don't know how long ago you've experienced the initial circumstance that ultimately led you to transition yourselves. So you want to start? Yeah.
So what I would say for me, I call Gene and Finch Gene and Fresh. I try to have a positive outlook on where I'm from to showcase that good can come out of there, right? Instead of just speaking about the negative, I try to focus mostly on the positive, because there's a lot of good people that live there that are not getting phone calls to come on the news and so forth, or even a chance to speak. And that is also very important. So one of the things I've done to deal with it and the circumstances of my lived experience is writing a book. Right, I think that no one cares until we really fully document what we went through. And if you actually document that and, you know, make it into a story, you could also profit from it as well. And someone's reading your story. I think that I want to encourage that more, because I feel that there's so much people that have gotten shot. People would love to read these stories and learn about these lived experiences so they can apply it to their life from all walks of life. And I feel like the music also helps as well, when you're able to actually speak up and send a message through your music. So that's another way of how I get my message out there, is through music, because it travels.
So what kind of music do you?
I do rap, hip hop. Right now I do have a single on the radio called Urgent. I'm not the radio, I'm Apple Music, Spotify, Tidal, and so forth on the streaming platforms. It is eventually going to be on the radio as well. I have submitted my music to CBC Radio and so forth, all different types, right, of stations. And yes, sir.
Okay. How about you, Marlon?
For myself, it's similar to Dwayne.
Yeah.
I'm also an artist, so that's where the Sling Dads name comes into play. About 10 years ago, I actually released a song called "I'm From Jane," which I basically shot a music video all along the Jane Strip in all the public housing complexes. And the reason why I actually did that song was to kind of unite all the communities, because to this day, a lot of us, or a lot of the communities, I should say, they still are not agreeing in regards to whatever the case may be.
You mean how to deal with the events that happen within it?
Well, just in regards to poverty, right? Like, they could be living across the street from each other, but for some apparent reason, they don't like each other because I live over here and you live over there.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And when I did that song, I actually did a remix version that I got about 10 artists all along the Jane Strip.
A mix, a blend, a diverse nature?
Exactly, to come on one song.
Yeah.
In regards to a unity track, which was never done before.
So what do your lyrics speak of and about?
Well, I speak messages in my song, anything that's positive, anything that I've been through, even though it may have a negative effect at first, there was an actual positive that comes out of it at the end.
Right. Okay. That's exactly what I think would be the best. You talk about the real life lived experiences. They're not generally very positive. And then you take those moments or events and you process them and you try and make sense of them in a different mindset so that they become opportunities for growth and development.
Yes.
Is that
so? For me, my music is really about my lifestyle as an entrepreneur. I actually speak about my perspective on business, using your time wisely. So Urgent is actually a song about getting your money urgent and kind of getting out of the rat race of the 9-to-5 all the time. So I'm speaking to all the entrepreneurs, all the people that want to go on Dragon's Den and so forth. I'm speaking to people that have a Canadian dream and just want to actually become something.
How about you, River?
Well, my lived experience surrounds helping people to heal, like I said, being there when the call comes. So when I know something has happened, the first thing I do is put on put on the radio in the morning or put on the TV on CP24 to see what happened during the night. But I do get calls as well. So I get calls from victim services or calls from the police department or whoever, if somebody is there. Everybody in the neighborhood knows what I do. So it's not surprising for me to get a call from somebody to say, something happened over here, can you come? And so my lived experience is being there, helping people to heal, helping them to understand that this doesn't make or break them, but it can help them to shift from where they are to something better, improve themselves.
So other people's lived experiences are your living experiences.
My living experience.
They're a constant, ongoing circumstance.
Yep, all the time.
Right?
Crisis.
Yeah, and those are unexpected. I mean, it's even to say crisis is an expectation of some form.
Yep.
It's going to happen.
It's
right. Unfortunately, it's a reality of life.
You're always waiting for the next call. The community, like I said, the community is always in crisis.
So, you know, how do we deal with those moments when, after the crisis has happened, in that moment, though there's repercussions, consequences, effects that continue afterwards, the person may be gone who was the focus of that action. Then there's other people who are affected on an ongoing basis, their circle of care, their family, their friends, etc. And then thus the community.
Yep, the victims and survivors who are there. So that's where we have groups for them. I visit, I make it, like we rotate. I have facilitators who walk along with me. But then we offer groups once a month for the families who want to come out on the third Thursday of every month. So anybody who has lost somebody doesn't necessarily have to be gun violence, but if they have lost somebody in any way, they're welcome to come to an open group where we have conversations and we help people to shift from where they are.
So what do you want to explore about the conversation with regard to gun violence? What do you want to touch on to actually agitate for some kind of potential positive change? Start with you, Robert.
Okay. Life continues. In spite of what is happening, life will continue. So for the people who are affected, we want them to know that there is support there. They're not alone. The perpetrator who's done it, the family who's affected, and all the other people who are inadvertently affected. Mm-hmm. So everybody needs to know that they're not alone, that there is support for them, and that together, if we can come together, we can make a difference, we can make some changes, we can find healing.
But what would you say, though? Yes, fine, that's good to say, and it's a great ideal, yet it continues to happen. And though we talk about trying to create means to transform in a meaningful way, yet there's another event around the corner.
And remember I said systemic? It's a systemic issue.
Mm-hmm. So when you say that,
yes,
let's look deeper. What does that really mean?
It means that the person who is picking up a gun is picking it up for a reason. Okay? There's poverty. There's people who are there by themselves. There are people who feel that there's no way out for them. There are people who are hungry and need to find something. People who don't have a job and need to find a means. Yes, there might be the people who just want something, but basically there are the systemic issues, the poverty, the racism, the marginalization. There's a lot of things. These are the systemic things. And this is why I'm saying the community by themselves cannot address the situation. We need to have things in place, like if the government would recognize grief and loss, for instance, as a healthcare issue. Because depression is the number one thing. Like, there are things in place that needs to be in place that are not in place to support the community. There are nothing for post-care for the families. After there's a shooting, after there's a funeral, people go back to their lives, and there's nothing in place for them. These are the things I'm talking about.
When you get certain societies that have certain constructs,
yes,
and the people who are in the positions of authority, who manage this system, they usually present from their own lived experiences, and they don't generally are empathic or sensitive or even care about the lived experiences of others.
I think they're far removed from the situation. I went to Ottawa to explain and to present the situation. This is what happens to a family. And one of the things I said, when there's a shooting, it affects everybody in the community. And an MP who is making decisions for communities asked me, how is this ever possible? So when somebody is far removed from a situation and it's not directly affecting them, they don't get it.
Do they really care to get it?
I want to hope that they care, because we're all human beings, right?
Ideally.
Yeah, so what I would say to address that situation, what I encourage, and the solution to that situation, is to plan. For example, getting life insurance coverage or any coverage in case of emergency that does happen, so that if someone does die in the family, which is likely to happen in these high-risk crime neighborhoods, it's more likely that you should have coverage. And the problem with it is that that's how a lot of people are looking at it. They're looking at it from a perspective to say that these families should have their stuff together. The only problem with that is that a lot of these, the educational system is not teaching families to protect themselves and get coverage. This, the first step to wealth is to protect yourself. And if you are able to actually protect yourself and redistribute that wealth back to your family, then you at least you know that if something happens to you, or if one of your kids dies, you have the money to bury them at least. So I think that's the first step. I don't agree that we should be calling the government for everything. The government's in debt. Right now, Canada's in debt, right? So like, when you think about it, it's like we have enough issues, and right now the premier is trying to clean that up. And I have to speak to the facts, because we can't depend on the government for everything and complain about it. We have to start doing something about it. And that's my perspective, is that, you know, instead of being in a position of vulnerability, get educated. Find out how to manage money. Find out how other wealthy families are doing it. And figure out a way to actually address that on our own. That's my...
What about, though, as per what has been raised by all of you, the economic issues, realities that many people have? Maybe they don't even have enough money on an ongoing basis to pay their rent or food, let alone looking for life insurance, which can be seen as something extra that we can't just deal with.
So if a mother, when a mother has to make a choice between paying $12 a month, it might be 12, and I've heard it's $12 a month for a policy, and a mom who's a single mother and has, let's say, three or four children, has to make a choice between, should I be paying this $12 a month, or should I make sure I have food in the fridge for the kids for school? When a mother has to make choices like that,
hard choices.
These are tough choices that they have to make. As a mother, I'm going to make the choice to feed my kids first. And yes, that's great. That's a great idea. But for people who are poor, and people who are living in poverty, people who cannot manage, people who are living from what people call hand to mouth. You'll get your pay, you have to pay your rent, you gotta make sure you get all the other things, bills paid. How do you manage?
Yeah.
How can you put aside something for wealth or to whatever to look at? Like, mothers are working all day.
Basically, I agree with everything that the Reverend says. Mm-hmm. She couldn't say it no better. Honestly, it takes the community as a whole, as well of our level of government, in regards to fixing this problem. It's not an overnight job, right? So the
thing is, though, how do you get people to, within the community, let alone outside the community, to feel that they actually can make a difference? Because it's been communicated, and these incidents happen, or circumstances happen, they live in their realities, and then someone says, great, let's do this. People get apathetic. They lose the sense that they can actually affect for some meaningful change.
Because they don't see action. And that's what it takes. We need to see action. If action is not happening, it's like you're saying, people are going to be fading away and losing hope, as people are already losing hope.
But
as we stand together, as communities, not just one community, as a whole.
Okay.
So what I would say is... What I would say actually is, I think that we also, why we have the power is because, you know, even those questions that Reverend Sky said, that it's hard for mothers to actually buy a policy or to have things in place, I still don't think that's an excuse to not have proper protection. I think that every family should eventually have a plan to buy a house. I think that every family should eventually have a plan to set their family up. And if they don't know how to do that, then that's where a job comes in or something of that sort to figure out a way to get out of poverty. But if we keep having the same story over and over, it's never going to get better. So we have to have a solution to that problem. We can't always keep saying, oh, government, give us some money. The government doesn't really care. Right. If the government did care, then this stuff would have been done already. Right now, there's supposed to be over $1 billion being invested into Jane and Fresh. And a lot of those money that's going to be reinvested into the subway, where's that money going to be going? A lot of the people are probably not going to be hired from the community. So how do you redistribute that wealth? You have to start hiring the people from the community. Stop hiring people that are coming outside of the community. Stop hiring counselors that don't even know what poverty looks like. That's how you fix the problem.
Though the reality is, many of the politicians are obviously elected by people from the community.
That is a huge problem. And the problem is, a lot of the people that try to vote or try to run, there's a person that ran in the community, his name was Winston LaRose.
Yeah.
And other people that actually came from the community. But the problem with that, and the problem with this whole structure, is that the people that are in power right now, they have a lot of the support from actual people that have money in the community. Not necessarily, like, I think there has to be a new system in how people go about voting in the community. And then maybe then we can start seeing a change. It's like, if all these cuts are gonna be happening all across Ontario, I think what needs to be happen is reinvest the wealth in the right places. Because all this money is being distributed all over the place, it needs to be condensed in the poverty areas.
Welcome back to the program for tonight. We're listening to Mediation Station. Hello, caller. How are you doing?
Oh, hi there.
Hi.
Yes, it's a very good show, and I'm very sorry to interrupt it. But on a much lighter note, I would like to wish Greg a very happy birthday today.
Ha!
Oh, wow.
Hey, come on. Don't take the energy away from the focus.
Yeah,
today.
I know. Sorry to interrupt, but it's a very good show.
All right.
For me, I think all guns should be banned.
Well, thanks for calling and your comments and your contribution.
And okay, it's a very good show. So.
All right. Okay, have a good night.
Thanks. A good one.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So let's shift the focus back onto you guys. So in terms of, this is our last segment, and I think we could talk a lot more. I have a lot more questions that helps as part of the conversation. We talked about societal systemic issues. How do you see, the individuals within community are one thing to try to affect change. How do you foresee the opportunity for the system to change, to be more cognizant and recognizing the realities of people so that they're, and as you mentioned, Mr. Fresh, the investment in communities is an ongoing thing. Though, is it really touching the right areas and producing the right results?
So I would say corporations have to play a part. I feel that, with all the brands that the community buys, I think that the corporations have a role to play as well. So for example, a good example of that was when Starbucks invested into greening the environment a bit, and we were able to raise some capital to actually plant some trees in Jane and Fresh. Another thing too, I would like to see more of that. Instead of just the government stepping in, why not the corporations that have billions of dollars step in and try to actually help as well? Because I think if these people are buying the products and also the fact that if some CEOs step in, that will also help. I think that can be a very big step towards change, but it has to happen in a way where that wealth that is being developed in Canada is distributed in the right places. And I think a good way to do that is to really connect with the people. Find out.
I appreciate what you're saying. It's also where you have to have people in those positions in those corporations who have a sense of openness, a mindset to want to do that. Many times corporations are only about their self-interest. Oh yeah, we can do this and invest in the community because it'll bring a good name on our business, which will increase our profit margin.
Yeah, that's true.
Really, the effective change is when they see the purpose is about the community, not about their own business interests per se. Right. You want anything to say on that?
Yeah, so I think personally, a good example, like for me, I tried my best to really to be an example of a company that tries to give back by hiring at-risk youth to try to actually have jobs. But I think that more so, if there was more mentorship, if there was more programs on focused on entrepreneurship, I think that would also help as well. I think that the government needs to teach people to be self-resilient. And if we have more entrepreneurs in the country, that means we have more jobs, right?
Robert.
For me, I think not just the community being involved, yes, businesses, but when I have my programs or when I have any events, I try to include, or I include my MP, my MPP, my counselors. I want them, they have to hear from the people. For the forum that we're doing, for instance,
right.
I'm going all the way to Queen's Park. I've contacted the mayor's office,
yeah.
And I'm bringing these people together. I want them to, this is how we raise awareness. Get them to hear directly from a survivor, directly from a victim who has gone through this, and see that this is long-term. Gun violence and the effects of gun violence and trauma are long-term effects that stays and lingers with families. And unless, again, the community by itself and people even coming together by themselves cannot fix this issue. This has to be a tiered approach from the federal to the provincial, to the municipal, to the city, and to the community.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than being at arm's length, bringing people in the community and connecting people in the community who are already on ground doing the work and connecting with people who have lived experience,
mm-hmm.
to share and help people heal.
What do you want to say, Marlon?
Basically, what they both said. I know it sounds funny, but...
No, I appreciate that.
But honestly, like I said, as a person that's been on both sides of the fence, I agree with both of what they said. It takes more than the community. It takes levels of government.
Yeah.
It takes everybody on a whole, not just one and two few just to make things work, right? And moving forward, I would say, in regards to trying to fix the gun violence in the city,
mm-hmm.
there needs to be tougher laws in regards to when you get hold with a gun or having possession of a gun. Like, a lot of people that I do know out there carry guns because
wow.
their life is in danger,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's not that they want to carry a gun, but how are you going to protect your life in regards to not knowing what's going to happen the next minute, right? But at the same time now, when you shoot a gun or when a gun is fired, it's not necessarily that person is going to be killed or hit. You can hit anybody, and like I said, not that one person is affected. It's the community and as a whole that's affected.
We have another caller, so how you doing?
Not too bad.
Okay, what would you like to say as we soon close out?
Well, a very quick comment, and the comment is my oldest son died of an overdose of opioids, so I understand what a loss of life is, and I understand what it's like to lose a child. But as far as gun control goes, I think that the issue is that it's something that is not going to be done by a law. By banning guns completely, you just up the black market. That's all you do. And most of the guns, regardless of what you hear, are coming through Canada Post. Our own postal system is trying to crack down on it, but they come in pieces, and it's really, they're not getting the reality of it. The Liberal government might come out soon and say we're going to ban guns. It's not going to stop the guns on the street. You might make the penalties a lot heavier. That might help, but you're not going to stop guns on the streets of Toronto.
Though the focus tonight is not really on gun control. It's on the effects of gun violence on individuals and community.
I completely understand that would be a huge issue in regards to how it influences the community. The community's in constant fear and so on, so other people carry guns to protect themselves. I kind of think that's if you don't mind me saying, with all due respect, a little bit bogus. I think a lot of people that do carry guns are carrying guns because they're doing things that they're not supposed to be doing. I don't carry a gun. I have no reason to carry a gun. If somebody's going to pull a gun on me and I don't have a gun, then I guess it's all over for me. But it's still not the Wild Wild West for me. I'm sorry.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
My pleasure.
All right.
Well, I just want to say this is a great opportunity. Part of addressing gun violence, the effects of gun violence, is raising awareness. And you, Greg, I want to thank you for the opportunity to raise this type of awareness. So that has been raised. People are out there are hearing that families and communities and youth are affected by gun violence, affected long-term by the trauma that it creates. And part of raising the awareness today is people here sharing, talking, even people listening out there. So people need to know that this is something that is ongoing. Grief and loss and trauma is not a 5 hour or 5 year, 5 day thing. I have mothers from 22 years still suffering, still going through trauma.
A lifelong.
And it's a lifelong process.
So in basically closing, what message do you want to each leave with the listeners from our conversation?
I'm going to say be the light and tap into your greatness, because each and every one of us has the infinite potential inside of us. All we have to do is just think before we act, and we'll be successful.
Just keep supporting your community and stay positive, and in regards to moving forward in life, just support each other.
We're all human beings, and wherever we are, somebody's hurting. We just need to be aware, pay attention, be supportive.
And quickly, what's next for each of you? Start with you, Mr. Fresh.
What's next for me is that I'm going to be releasing a book called Jane and Fresh. So please definitely look out for that at www.freshandfamous.com. And if you ever want to get in touch through social media, you can follow me at Mr. Fresh and Famous on Instagram.
Okay.
Myself, I'm starting a nonprofit organization called Mortgage Foundation. Basically, I'll have several programs underneath the umbrella. So I'm going to start a music program called CARS, which is Creating Arts, Restoring Souls.
Okay.
And other stuff as well.
And for you, quickly?
Okay, we have three events coming up. One this Thursday on the 23rd of May at 45 Northinch is free. One on the 30th of May, and Greg is going
to
be our...
plug that again.
Greg is going to be your moderator. You're welcome to come. That's free as well. Mm-hmm. And on June 15th, we're celebrating fatherhood and raising funds for our community. You're welcome to join us.
I want to each thank you very much for putting yourselves out there and presenting what you've presented. It's a step. This is not to be the be-all and end-all. So thanks for coming out and sharing.
And thank you for having
us. Thanks for having us.
All right. You've been listening to Mediation Station on CHHA 1610 AM.